All right, the book of Hosea, interesting book. I guess one of the greatest messages that I've ever heard a man preach was out of the book of Hosea. It's an interesting book. Now, our lesson is to cover 3 weeks' worth, this week, next week, and then the following week. So we're going to kind of lay more of a foundation this morning and give a good understanding of the purpose of this book. Now, Hosea is going to be a prophet, a man of God. He will be a man that God will give a message to, and then he's to take that message to the people of God and deliver that message unto them. That's all he can do. He's just a messenger. Now, we hear that statement often, we're just a messenger, but it's kind of belittling the fact, I don't know of maybe a greater job in all the world than being a messenger of God. We have to realize and understand the importance of the message of God and even how important it is in our day and age as well. But we have to understand here, Hosea can only do that. He can only tell the people what God has said. Now, the people here, if you remember back a few weeks ago, I made a statement, the kingdom had been divided into two sections. There's a northern section and a southern section. He's going to be in the northern section. And the people of God have turned their backs upon God. In a very wicked fashion. They have turned to Baal worship. Not only that, there were some other worships as well under some false gods. But they had taken all the blessings of God, all the prosperity of God, all the grace and love of God. They turned their back upon that and turned unto false gods. Now, it's a little unique during this time because the people are very prosperous. Financially, they had become a wealthy people. Things, as far as the economy goes during this time, it was very, very strong. People were living a very comfortable life. In fact, some of them even attributed their blessings to their worship of Baal. And they gave credit to Baal for their prosperity. Their evil lifestyle became worse and worse and worse. So God has decided now that enough is enough, and God is going to send judgment unto them. Now, God always gives them the opportunity to repent and turn back to God. He always has that open door, and he still has that door open to anybody even today. I don't care what nation, what part of the world you live in, God always gives that opportunity for repentance and coming back unto him. So God is going to send Hosea to the people to deliver the message because they have completely turned their back on God. And he wants to give them the opportunity to come back unto them to avoid judgment. And so the choice is going to be theirs. You repent, you turn back to God, you receive the blessings of God. You continue down this spiral of a life, and you're going to find destruction is going to come, and it's going to be by the hand of God. There's a lot of similarities in the book of Hosea to the day and age that we live in. We often make reference to how, I don't think there would be a living soul in this church this morning that would disagree that America is not what she used to be. We make that statement often. A lot of nonsense taking place, and, there's many issues that have taken place just in the past 10 years of our nation, maybe in the past five, and how drastically our country has changed, and it's not changed for the good, it's changed for the bad. This gay lifestyle is being shoved down our throats. Patty and I were talking the other night about, show after show after show where they always got to have some gay couple in it. In the news yesterday, did y'all know that Wonder Woman is gay? Did y'all know that? In the news yesterday. They're going to make her where she had a relationship with another woman. Now, we look at that and we think, how crazy, how stupid. But you got to understand the purpose and philosophy behind why they're going to take a character like that and turn her into that, because they're going to reach that young generation. That's their goal. And they want a generation of people to rise up that accepts that lifestyle, and maybe we're there. I don't know. I, as a nation, it's kind of hard to know exactly where we're at. I think we're right on the pivotal point if we haven't already pivoted over into that area. But as you read the book of Hosea, and we're not going to read it word by word and verse by verse, but if you were to go and study this book, you will find there are many similarities to the day and age that we live in. It's not far-fetched what you find in the book of Hosea compared to what you'll find in our day and age. So with that being said this morning, as we lay a foundation here, we have to understand God is not happy with the people. He's upset with them. He's furious with them. He's going to bring judgment upon them. In fact, you're going to find a statement. If you would go to look at verse number 9, look at the last part of the verse. Many people say that this is the theme of the book of Hosea. Look at that last little phrase. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. You know, when you get to that point in life, you got major problems. I can go ahead and tell you right now, when you get to that stage as a nation, it's over with. Because when God no longer becomes your God, and you find here that you are no longer my people, and when God, when God disowns you, if you would, this morning, and I understand that God doesn't really disown us because we can always come back to God, but you'll find here God, I mean, that's pretty strong terms that we find here. I want to give you an insight to understanding here how much God is upset with them. So all this false worship and Baal worship and worshiping other gods, and they were involved in idol worship, and we could teach a whole lesson about all that was incorporated into their worship style and the ungodliness of it, and it makes God sick and God very upset with them. So God is going to call Hosea. You'll find in verse number 1, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea. So God is now going to speak to the man of God that will take the message of God to the people of God. And God's going to give him a message. Now this book is so unique, it's going to be a little different scenario here for Hosea. I don't completely understand a lot of why God does exactly what he does. Now, you know, let me say this real quickly. Don't let that alarm you. There's not a man on planet Earth that knows everything about the mind of God. If I knew everything about God, I would be God. I don't understand exactly why God always does what he does. I just know this morning that it's up to me not to understand. My responsibility is just have faith and follow. So God's going to call Hosea. His job will be to deliver the message to the people. But God is going to do something unique with Hosea. You're going to find here in verse number 2, it says here, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife. Nothing unusual about that. That's very natural. Marriage is not a strange thing. Marriage is a good thing. The marriage, of course, we know is between a man and a woman. Now, the interesting fact here is going to be God is going to select Hosea's wife. Her name is going to be Gomer. The odd thing is going to be is she's a harlot. Now, I'll stop real quick and say this. I don't think it's wise for people often to marry. I don't think it's wise for a young man to marry a woman who's a harlot. You have to understand something. Why in the world would God want Hosea to marry Gomer? A lot of speculation, a lot of insight that people may have, but I do know this. I believe that God wants Hosea to be an effective messenger, but in order for him to really understand the way God sees it and the way God feels, he wants Hosea to go through something very similar. Now, may I stop and we'll lay a little bit of a foundation here real quickly. I don't know of a more important job in this whole world than the job of a pastor. I personally believe this morning that Brother Richardson's position, I don't like to call it a job, but his position in life is more important than the presidential election. I honestly believe that. But now here's something that's difficult to swallow. There are times that God will allow things to take place in the life of a preacher because he's going to need something through that experience so he can better understand the message. And it's not always, and sometimes through my eyes I look at it and I would say, I don't think that's very fair. But but looking back, I understand God's always fair. God's always right. But sometimes preachers go through some experiences that are, as I would look at and say, you know, I don't understand why he would have to go through something like that. But the reason may be that we don't understand because God has a bigger, he has a bigger view than what we have of the situation. You see, God may take a preacher and put him through some experiences because he's going to need that experience so he can be a more effective messenger. For instance, I don't know why, but the thought this morning came to some friends of ours. We haven't seen them in a long time, but we met a young couple at Bible college. Steve and Wanda Cape is their names. He actually pastors today right out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. He had three girls, right? Heather, Hannah, and Amy. Is that right? Jenna. I'm sorry. Jenna was the middle girl. Heather was the oldest. He finishes college, and he takes the pastorate of a church in Rome, Georgia. Does everybody know where, anybody know where Rome, Georgia is? Rome, Georgia is famous for one thing and one thing only. Does anybody know what it is? Carpet. They make carpet in Rome, Georgia. And he takes the pastorate there. Doing well. I don't know, had he been there a year? I don't even know if he had been there a year when he took the pastorate there and so forth. And his oldest daughter one day had a seizure. And very odd because she had never had a seizure before in her life. And the next day she had some more. And I think at one time she got it to where she was having, 30 seizures a day, I believe. Very tragic situation. She's still living today. But from that very first seizure, she has never been right since that day. And they don't know why. So she becomes very, very ill, very, very sick, and no doctor in the area could take care of her. And they recommended that they take her, I think, to the Mayo Clinic. I can't remember. They had to take her somewhere off to some specialist, and it was a long distance off. And he's trying to pastor the church and having to be gone with his daughter and so forth. Well, during that time, the church members get mad because the pastor's missing the pulpit too much. It became a struggle, and he had to leave. He actually had to make a choice. The church, you know, basically gave him a choice. You know, either you're going to pastor the church or you're not. Basically, they're saying either you're going to pastor the church and be here every single Sunday or you're going to take care of your daughter. Now, you know as well as I do, there's no decision there. I mean, if I was pastoring a church and the church told me either you choose to pastor this church or you take care of your daughter, I'm going to say see you later. I'm gone. And things got worse for her. She deteriorated. She became just a shell of a person that she used to be, and one of the sweetest girls you would have ever met in your life. And looking at that, it would be easy to say, why? Why? And they never really fully discovered why she was even having all the seizures and so forth. They think when she was a child, she did fall off the porch at an apartment complex where we were living at the same time as well, and she hit her head, and they thought she might have had a concussion, and they kind of think maybe something happened there. but there's not really a specialist or a doctor that can pinpoint and say exactly why she's going through what she's going through. Now, I'm saying all that just to say this. I can look at something like that, and my first reaction would be, why does God allow that to happen? You ever ask why? Now, don't look at me real funny, because you've had times in your life where you've asked God why. I'm going to be perfectly honest. There are things in life that have happened that I do not understand why God would allow that to happen. But I back up and I realize, but after that, of course, he leaves the church there in Rome, Georgia. Was that his first pastorate? It was, wasn't it? And then he ends up moving to Hillside Baptist Church out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Been there now for probably 20 years, I guess, now, as a very good ministry. In fact, God's used her testimony. I think she's even written a book. And God's used that for his honor and for his glory. Now, let me ask you this. You got to also realize, do you not believe that her dad would, if he could change it, he'd still go back and make a right, and none of that would have ever happened? But to go through something like that and watch your child, I mean, just become a shell of a person that they once were, and realize that she's never going to be the same. She's never going to be normal. And then to realize you will have to take care of her all of your life. And then the worry comes, if something happened to us as mom and dad, who's going to take care of her then? And so you carry that around all your life, it'll change your life. Now, all I can say, as we even get into the book of Hosea, sometimes God will take the messenger, the preacher, the man of God, the prophet, however you want to classify it here, God's going to take that individual and he's going to make them go through some experiences that do not seem fair, that are at many times extremely difficult to even endure, but the reason God allows it to take place is because God wants them to understand where he's coming from. Have you ever thought to yourself, when God looks down from heaven and looks at this world, what does he see? How does he feel? I mean, when he looks at our nation this morning, I mean, you know, what is God's response? I mean, what's the mind thought of God? What's the feeling of God? And I don't know that we can give an exact answer. We can give what we may, our opinions may be. But in the book of Hosea, God is going to take the messenger, the man of God here. He's going to put him through some very undesirable experiences in life so he can have a better understanding of how God feels about his own people. So we find here in verse, and let me say this. I want to make sure we understand that as we read the book of Hosea, it's twofold. You're going to have Hosea, his wife. They're going to have three children. And you're going to have this marriage experience that's taking place in this book. But then also the other flip side of it, you have the people of God and what they're doing and how God feels about them. It's twofold here. And as you read the book, you have to understand that so you can keep track of, is the Bible talking about the people of God here, or is he talking about Hosea? Is he talking about Gomer? Is he talking about one of the children? So you have to have a good understanding of the whole foundation of the book, or you'll get lost in it and you'll get disinterested in it. So you have to keep in mind here that this book, it's named Hosea, but it's not really about Hosea. It is about God's treatment of his people. Hosea is just an illustration, if you would. He's just an example of the relationship between God and his people. We find here that in verse number 2, that the word of the Lord comes to Hosea, and God tells Hosea, I want you to take a wife. Now, I kind of speculate here a little bit. I'm sure Hosea said, I'm glad you want me to take a wife. I've been thinking about that too. And I've had my eyes on somebody down the street here, and she's a good godly lady, good Christian person, loves God, walks with you. She's one of your children, and I'm pretty sure that's who you have in mind for me. And I don't know, I'm just speculating. God said, no, no, she's not the one. Well, I don't quite understand that, but it's probably the other girl down the other street. And she would be my second choice. She's a good person. She loves the Lord. Serves you with her whole heart. And I'm pretty sure that's probably who you have in mind for me. And God says, no, she's not the one either. And I don't know, and I'm adding a lot here that's not Bible, but I'm just saying that maybe Hosea says, well, what's her name? Gomer. And he probably says, I don't think I understood you correctly. I thought you said Gomer, but I know it can't be Gomer because she's a harlot. And God says, no, I want you to marry Gomer. And I don't know, maybe Hosea says, I'm really having a hard time hearing today because there's a young girl down this road here that I think would be ideal, and she's not her. It has to be this one. She'd be my second choice back over here. And I thought you said Gomer, who is very well known by a lot of different men, and she is a very ungodly, wicked person. He says, no, you heard it right. It's Gomer. Now, this is something that we, I read in a lot of things that maybe is not really there, but one thing you have to say about Hosea, he may not understand why, but Hosea just trusts God, and you're going to find that Hosea is going to marry Gomer. And you'll find in verse number 2, he says, go and take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went, in verse number 3, and took Gomer, and he's going to make her his wife. Now, I've often kind of thought, what do the people think? Hosea's lost his mind. That doesn't make sense of why he would marry her. Let me say this real quick, too. A lot of things that happen in the work of God do not make humanly sense. But it's God's purpose. You got to realize God's got a bigger plan. God's got a bigger vision. And so he's going to take this wife here, and he's going to take her. Her name's Gomer, and she's a harlot here. And they get married in verse number 3, and she's going to have a child, and he is going to be a son. You'll see that. The first child is a son. And you're going to find also here in verse number 4, God tells them what to name that child. They don't select the name. God selects the name. Now, it's important, and I have not read next 2 weeks' lessons, but the names of the children are important. They have a meaning to it, a purpose. It is actually going to be a description of the people of God and their relationship with one another. Now, you have to realize their relationship's not very good. They're serving Baal. They're worshiping idols. They have completely turned their back on God. And God is going to take Hosea here and make him go through something here that is going to be one of the most devastating, if not the most devastating thing that's ever happened in his life, so he can have a better understanding, a grasp of the message that he is going to deliver to the people of God. And may we understand this morning, the message from the man of God does matter. The message is very important. So they bear a son. We find here in verse number 4 that God tells them the name of the child. You'll find in verse number 6 here that she has another child, and this child will be a daughter. And God's going to tell them what to name the daughter. That's their second child. There's a third child in verse number 8, and the third child is going to be a son. As soon as the daughter is weaned, she conceives again and has the third child. Now, I was trying to read some commentary on the book of Hosea. Some people believe that the third child is not actually Hosea's child. We don't know for sure. I can speculate. I can go either way, and I don't think that's really that important right here. But she's going to conceive in verse number 8, and she's going to bear a son. And God said in verse number 9, I want you to name him, if you would, Lo-ami, I believe is the name of the third child, the son here. And then it has that little statement after that we just read a while ago. And here's, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. So all three children, they're going to have three here, all three children are given a name that God gives them. That name is going to have a meaning, and it's actually a description of the people of God and the relationship or lack of between God and the people of God. Now, God is not the one that's changed in the relationship. It's the people of God that's changed. You know, this morning, nothing has changed. God is still the same today as he was back in the day of Hosea. The only thing that's changed is the people of God. So they have three children. Their names have a great meaning. But boy, when you get down to verse number 9, and most Bible theologians will say this is the whole theme of the book of Hosea, where it says, for ye are not my people. And based on their lifestyle, they weren't the people of God. They're the people of Baal. They're the people of idol worship. They're the people of false gods. And it wasn't just Baal worship. That was predominantly their religion. There were some other religions mixed in as well. Very sinful, very wicked life, very wicked worship, ungodly, and just despicable in so many ways in what they were doing. And God looks down from heaven. He looks at his people, and they have their back turned upon him. Now, we could debate this morning, is that what God sees when he looks at our nation this morning? I mean, when God looks down at America as a nation, I mean, does he see our backs turned against him? I don't know. Time will tell, though. But as he looks down, he sees a people and they are living a life that is contrary to the life of God. I mean, they're not acting like the people of God. Their lifestyle is not in accordance to the word and to the law of God. Their worship was by far way out there away from God. And because of their worship of Baal and false gods, the law started to change in the land. And guess what happens? A lot of wickedness moves in. You know, one of the reasons why we have so much filth and ungodliness in our nation this morning is because we as a nation, as leadership in our nation, has allowed it to come in. I mean, the reason we're having issues over marriage and gay rights and violence and drugs and just on and on and on. I mean, transgender bathrooms was a big issue. Far left-leaning lifestyles and doctrine and the way people think nowadays is just, I mean, totally contrary to the word of God. Why is that? Because we have allowed it to come in. You know, I've always found it to be true. You know, if you had just to open the door to the devil, he always comes in. You know, you don't open the door and say, devil, you're welcome to come in. And, you know, he never responds. You know, I don't think I want to come in. He always moves in. And that's what's happened to the people of God. They are so wicked, so backslidden, so hardened towards to God that it's going to force God to go to action. And by the way, God's not afraid to go to action. And you're going to find that some very destructive things are going to happen in their life. Now, they have the opportunity. You're going to find that the message that Hosea is going to deliver unto them is a message of coming back to God, a message of invitation to come back to God. It will be a message of love. It will be a message of repentance. And they have that opportunity put before them that they could come back to God at any time. You'll find in chapter 1, the last two verses, verse 10 and 11, you may have a division in your Bible. Verse 10 and verse number 11 is talking about future events. actually, it's prophecy that will take place. Some promises that God had made them. For instance, look at verse number 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there it shall also be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. There's going to be a day they will come back to God. But boy, there's going to be a lot of years go by before they ever get to that point. If I'm not mistaken, Hosea, his ministry, I think 60 years, I believe. If I may be off on that a little bit, but he served a long time and served God very well. So you got the problem with the people of God and their lifestyle, and then you got the man of God who knows what the people should be doing, and they're doing the direct opposite. Now God speaks unto Hosea, the man of God, to deliver a message, but before the message is ever given, he wants Hosea to experience something. So God's plan is for Hosea to marry Gomer. That takes place. She bears a son, first child. She bears a daughter, the second child. She bears a third son, the third child. All of them are given names by God. They all have a meaning as it describes the situation that you're going to find in the book of Hosea with the people of God. So as we read through the book of Hosea, you have to have that understanding. It's like you're reading two stories at the same time. You got this marriage taking place here with Hosea, but then also you've got all the problems with the people of God and how God's dealing with that and how God views that. So it's two stories going on as you read through the pages of Hosea. And you're going to have to concentrate and you're going to have to really focus as you read through the book of Hosea. But let's go to chapter 2. We'll go to chapter 2 here real quickly. In chapter 2, Gomer becomes an unfaithful wife to Hosea. She is going to go outside the boundaries of marriage and go back to her old lifestyle. And she's going to go back to the old whoredoms, if you would, to the harlot lifestyle. And she's actually going to not only step outside that bonds of marriage, but she's actually going to leave her marriage. She's going to turn her back not only on her husband, but to her three children. Now, I could really kind of build it up and kind of describe a little bit of all that that Gomer gets involved in. And after we get all said and done, you're not going to like Gomer. And I don't understand how she could do what she does. How does a mother? And I'm not saying that fathers are exempt, but how can a mom or a dad turn their own back on their own children? How could she do something so devastating to her marriage? But in chapter 2, you're going to find that she goes back to living a very adulterous life. And in this chapter, you'll find and you'll realize not only is that description given about their marriage taking place, but also you're going to find that, you know what God decides to do with the people of God? You know, you're a very prosperous people. You know what I think I'll do? God says, I'm going to take away your prosperity. I'll take away all your wealth. I'll take care of all your gains that you have. You feel so comfortable in all your wealth and prosperity. In fact, you even attributed that it was Baal that sent you all your fortunes. He said, you know what I think? I think I'll just remove it all. And we have to remind ourselves, even as we live today, God can take away America's wealth anytime he wants to. Well, I don't know how he could really do that. Very easy. Do you remember when those two airplanes flew into the World Trade Centers? It devastated us financially. Do you remember? Stock market completely shut down. Two airplanes pretty well wiped us out for about, what was it, a week before they actually came back up on the stock market and so forth. Financially, we were just stagnant just because of two airplanes. Don't tell me God can't take away our wealth. And so in chapter 2, you're going to have now Gomer leaving her marriage, turning her back on her husband, turning her back on her first son, her second child, which was her daughter. She turns her back on her. The third son, she's going to turn her back upon him, and she's going to go out and do what she's been doing most all her life, her wicked, vile lifestyle. Now, we may say, well, Hosea had no business marrying in the first place. Well, that's who God told him to marry. You know what Hosea is guilty of? Just following what God tells him to do. Let me stop here and make sure we understand something very clear of why this takes place. God wants Hosea to know what it feels like when your people turn your back upon him. Do you understand what God is doing here? Now let's go a lot further with it. It gives us a good example or a good insight to how God views it when we turn our back on him as a nation. We can go a lot further than that. It is also a good example of how God feels when we as individuals turn our back on God. Oh, I'd never do anything like that. Oh, really? I don't think we fully understand how it breaks the heart of God when we do evil, wicked things in life. God says, you know what, Hosea, you need to have a good understanding, because when you deliver the message, you know, it's going to be a little bit different message that he delivers when he gives that message by experience of what it feels like to be betrayed, to know what it feels like when people turn their back upon you, what it feels like when people desert you, when people just all outright turn their back upon God. And when Hosea is going to deliver that message, you know, I feel like, you know, when he delivers the message now, it'll be a little bit, it's going to have some emotion mixed in with it. It's going to have a lot more knowledge in that message. It's going to have a lot better understanding when he delivers this message to the backslidden people of God who've turned their back upon God. He's going to have a good understanding of what it really feels like. And I believe sometimes that's one of the reasons why God allows not only preachers to go through some very difficult situations, but I think it also reveals to us this morning that may be sometimes why God allows us as his people to go through some very difficult situations. You'll have a lot better understanding of what it feels like. And in chapter 2 here, you find that Gomer becomes unfaithful. She leaves the marriage. She turns her back on her husband, her three children. She goes out and lives a life of whoredoms. And she becomes very unfaithful, which is a description of the people of God and how they had become unfaithful to God. And, you know, and sadly, it requires destruction and ruin to lead people back to repentance to God. And that's what's going to have to happen. You're going to find as you read through, destruction has to come. The message is given and they're going to ignore it. They're asked to turn back to God. They don't do it. So God's going to have to move to action and do some very drastic things in their life. And that's sadly the way it normally works. That often it takes ruin and destruction and heartache and heartbreaks to lead people back to repentance. And so you'll find that they're going to begin by ignoring the warnings and that is given unto the people of God, which is now going to bring destruction upon them as a nation. God is going to use this marriage as an example, but not only do I think it's an example of the whole situation here of the people of God and their backslidden state and their turning their back on God and God trying to get them to come back unto him. But it's also a description here, and is using his marriage as even an example, but also so he has an understanding of what it's like to be God. Chapter 2 is going to be that chapter. In fact, you'll find that very tragic situation that takes place here. She leaves, and I've kind of hammered away at that quite a bit. You'll find beginning down, let's go to chapter 3. I'm about out of time, but let me get to chapter 3 real quick, and then we'll move on next week. God, in chapter 3, comes to Hosea, and he's going to tell Hosea, I want you to go and get your wife back. Now, if you really think this through and you kind of put yourself in this situation here, the last thing I'd want is for God to tell me, go get your wife, my wife back. Would it not be easy to tell God, no way is that going to happen? After all she's done to me, I wouldn't have her back. And I'd probably say a lot of bad things about her. Would you not as well? But let me say this morning, I'm really, really glad that God doesn't react that way with me. Oh, it'd be easier. I ain't no way I'd have her back. Good riddance. She's sorry, and boy, I could tell all the things she's done unto me. I could tell you all the things she's done in her life and the wickedness that she's involved in, and she's not fit to be my wife, much less anybody's wife. And I wouldn't go back to her. I wouldn't walk across the road to save her life. But boy, isn't it good that God doesn't react that way? Chapter 3 is pretty amazing. God comes to Hosea. He says in verse number 1, get yet, love a woman beyond beloved as her friend. And you're going to find here that God is going to tell Hosea, I want you to go and I want you to get her back. You're going to find in chapter number 3 that basically it is a description of no matter how far God's people have gone, listen, God still loves them. You know, I'll be honest with you. My mind cannot fathom or wrap my brain around the thought how God could love such sinful people. So in chapter 3, he's going to tell Hosea, now Hosea, I got a job for you to do. And Hosea says, anything you know, I'll do anything. I've always obeyed you, whatever you want me to do. And God says, I want you to go back and get Gomer. It's interesting here that when he goes to find her, she is being sold at a slave auction. Which, and I don't have a lot of time to go into this, which represents how low she has gone in life. I don't know that you could have gone any lower than where she was at. And she's being sold at an auction. And Hosea is going to buy her back. It's more than just going back and get her saying, come on, you know, come back home. He has to pay a pretty large sum just to get her back. I mean, my reaction would be, you know, no way am I paying money to get her back. After all she's done to me. Isn't it so, you know, it's so interesting. You can go back and you can read chapter 2 and chapter 3. And all throughout the chapter, it'll break your heart because you will realize that God will go to any extent, he'll pay any price to get you back. No matter how far a person goes into sin and no matter how wicked they may become in life, it's just hard for me to comprehend how God can still love them. No matter what I do in life, no matter how much I may break the heart of God, I cannot fathom how God can still love me. So Hosea's going to do what God says. He finds her. She's at this auction and so forth. And you're going to find that, look at verse number two, you'll find that, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with for me many days. Now, he does give some conditions here that I'm going to buy you back, but here's the conditions in verse number three. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And she's going to come back. Chapter three, you can just kind of mark it down. It is a chapter of God's love. In this book, and I'm past my time, I got to quit here, but let me say this real quickly. In the book of Hosea, it is, I guess I find it somewhat difficult because my flesh is so contrary to what I find in this book. My flesh doesn't like what God wants Hosea to do. But you got to remember something here. It is an experience that Hosea goes through. He needs it to understand the message of God. And ultimately, the message of God is going to be this. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if you've been kneeling down at an altar of Baal. I don't care if you've been worshiping idols. I don't care if you have been living in some very ungodly, very wicked lifestyle and sinful life. And I'm not saying God doesn't care, but I'll say this. God's response is always going to be the same, and this is his response. I still want you back because I love you. God loves his people that much. And so in chapter 3, he buys her back, and we'll get into the lesson and we'll look at some more of the book of Hosea starting next week. That's the foundation. You understand those points, you can understand the rest of the book of Hosea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your love. And Lord, it's just, I don't know how that we can even comprehend how you can love us and continue to love us when we're so unloving and we're so sinful and we're so wrong so many times in life. But God, your love always comes through. And God, I pray that you help us to maybe better understand the love of God today. And God, we thank you for your love, and we pray, Lord, for your blessings upon our service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.